Cool. Welcome back to Spartan Up Podcast. I'm joined by Sephra. I've got Dave. I've got Joe. And Joe went with Mary into Silicon Valley, talked to a couple of incredible people.
Silicon Valley's just happening.
Yeah, it really is.
You go out there, you start meeting people, and it's like, wow, stuff's getting done.
Yeah, two guys are getting a lot of stuff done. Chad Grills, Christian Johnson. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so really got me excited about the possibilities of disrupting the world. Like, there's no better time. Well, why don't we just dive in, watch it? I think all of us watching it are going to learn that it's a little easier than you thought to really make a change and an impact in the world right now.
We are here for Spartan Up Podcast. I'm in the middle of eating breakfast in San Francisco at the Nikko Hotel with Christian Johnson, CEO founder of Fotition,
who has been advised to keep his fingers away from Joe's breakfast.
That's right. What's Fotition? And I'm just going to keep eating while we talk.
Oh, that's fine. Fotition is a platform that was created to bring brands, charities, and people together in a way that affects positive social impact.
How'd you come up with the idea?
So Marion and I, who were talking about that before you came
Don't
down.
Tell me Marion came up with the idea.
These things that you didn't know about your own people.
Unbelievable. She's
Marion and I
camera
go
this
way
night.
Back, by the way. This has all been a plan just to get this here. So this is, yeah.
Next thing I'll know, Johnny Wade owns a piece of it and so does Sephra.
We're all in talks. We're not aware of this.
Colonel Nye is the only one I know is loyal.
Though we could do something that Colonel Nye would probably really like.
Yeah.
So with this, the idea of, you know, like most ideas come from oftentimes something else, another idea that's not going the way you would like it to. And I think it's being able to recognize those things. So before I did this, I had a boutique marketing and design agency, and we were working on actually a mobile app project that was not going the way we wanted it to. And it's not that it wasn't working. It wasn't working in the way that we wanted it to, which, yeah, everybody, if you ever think that you are going to get people to do something the way you want them to, think differently. They're going to do it however they want to. You need to adapt to that.
You ever see there's a TED Talk, The God Complex? And I know Marion hates editing, but you're going to have to weave in a link for the viewers to... But I forget his name that does the talk, but he basically talks about how much data there is today for us to analyze. We want to fit things in our own little box and say, oh no, we know how the consumer is going to act here. But the reality is, without trial and error, you just don't know.
You have no idea.
You think you know, but...
You think you know, but you, right. You don't know until...
Steve Jobs knew.
You know, he was so... His vision, though, he knew what he wanted. The thing is he was so passionate about it, and he was so focused on it. He knew exactly how it needed to be, and there's a lot of people that do, and you see them come out every now and then. There's an interesting thing on the data.
Yeah.
I was reading an article just yesterday, in fact, that was talking about... Everybody wants data. You know, brands want data. They want to know who's clicking what, who's doing what, who wants to do what, how are they responding, so they can somehow turn that into profit. But data is not necessarily what you want if you're a person that has a bigger vision, that long-term goal, because data is for the now. It's not really for the future. So if you focus on what people are doing right now, you lose the greater vision.
Well, I guess you could use the data to confirm that they're doing what you set out to do for now.
Absolutely.
Right.
And in no way am I saying data is not a good thing.
Right. But I agree. I agree with that.
My team would kill me if I said that.
Listen, companies don't last very long. Companies don't last long. Cities last a long time. Companies don't last long. And that's probably the reason, right? Where they get very focused and myopic on, it's one of the reasons, on right now.
It's the ability, though, to, if you can't evolve, it's like with brands. If you're not able to reinvent yourself every 5 years, 10 years, you're going to be surpassed by a small brand that was able to be in the moment.
You know, not that this podcast is about me at all, so I apologize for hijacking this moment, but my first business was a swimming pool service business. And I was very, very young. And very quickly, I was taking consumers away from the big guys that had been around for 30 years. And I scratched my head every day and said, I don't understand how I'm doing it. Well, I was just hungrier. Right? I just did it a little different. I marketed a little more. I did whatever I did that. And so what happened was, when I looked at the 30-year-old business, they were tired. They were the extreme, they were 180 degrees different than what I was doing, right? They were marketing a little less. They were doing things the way they used to do it. They didn't have an open mind to, so I agree with you. I agree 100%.
People connect, though, with that hunger and the passion.
Oh, without a doubt.
And there's no, and that's really, you know, we were talking about this briefly before, is that I think everybody needs to come up with their own personal mantra. You know, what is it that drives you? What is your why? Why do you get out of bed in the morning? You know, why do you go do whatever the job is that you're doing? What is the purpose? Is it just to make money? Hopefully not. Hopefully there's a lot more to that.
Sure.
But it's also trying to live every
single day.
There
are moments in time. There were moments in time in my life where it was just about money. I just wanted to make some money. But it really depends on where you are, right? Third world, working on food for your family, money's pretty important.
My personal mantra for a very long time has been creativity will save the world. I truly believe that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think we need to find ways to go at issues with, you know, a creative mind rather than all processing data. You know, how can we take a creative approach to this?
But is creative is, would you say 50% execution is 50%? Is creative 20%? Execution is 80%? Because you can be as creative as you want, right? But without executing.
You know, execution is everything. And I think there's a lot of very creative people that don't know how to execute. So therefore,
most
people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and being here in the Silicon Valley, and whenever you're going on raising money, one of the questions you always get asked is, so what is the exit strategy? And I always laugh when I hear that.
Yeah.
I'm like, shouldn't we be focused on the execution strategy rather than the exit strategy? Because if you're already focused on the exit, why are you even doing this?
My answer to that is death. I want to dive into how you got to where you are. You said you've always loved creativity.
Basically went through high school, was planning on, you know, doing what a lot of people that are 6'3", 200 and some odd pounds, is going on and playing football in college, and had my knee blown out, all four ligaments, the most from the bone.
So you would have been juicing and doing like 500-pound bench presses right now instead of
I don't think I'd been juicing, because I've always been one of the ones that I'm the person that if I get sick, I don't even like taking. If I get a headache, I don't want to take something.
Right.
I just don't like stuff in my body. I've never done anything other than drink alcohol and coffee when it comes to any type of drugs.
Sure.
Just not mine.
No, I'm the same way.
Yeah, I don't believe in it.
Yeah, so how did that happen? Let's go, let's stick there for a second. How'd that happen? Is that the mom?
So, no, I think, well, growing up, we were always eating very healthy, which, of course, as a kid, it's like, you go to your friend's houses, everyone else has got the sugar cereal, and no, everything. At our house, my dad would get up and make fresh 12-grain muffins for breakfast, or we would have...
But you must have snuck when you went over your friend's house.
Absolutely, I'd be lying if I didn't, you know, but you look back at those things that you're so appreciative for. I'm appreciative that my parents cared enough to actually... At least do the best that they could,
right.
To set those lines. And we liked it. You know, I love to cook today, and I think a lot of it has to do with growing up watching my parents.
Sure.
Especially.
Sure, we are who we hang out with, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I think that...
But the drug thing is especially interesting to me because I have four children. And so the last thing any parent wants is for them to go off the rails. I was on a plane yesterday on my way here. And I happened to just be peeking over at a 20-something-year-old girl's text conversation going on because we were stuck on the plane waiting to get out. I was like, man, I want to call the parents. It was like drugs, and it was just unbelievable, the conversation. I almost said something.
You know, it's unfortunate that I think things are different than, I mean, remember, for instance, when we were kids, and we might be close to this.
No, I'm definitely older. Yeah. I was born in 1920.
Wow. I mean, Spartan has done wonders for you.
That's amazing. No, I was born in 69 when we were born.
Well, we're not that far off, 70.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, but I think...
The muffins did well for you. So you leave Orange County, and how do you end up...
One day waking up and asking myself, am I living up to my own personal mantra of creativity will save the world? You know, am I actually using my creativity for the greater good, or am I just using it to sell more products and more movie tickets?
For somebody else.
Yeah, and I didn't think that was necessarily what I was meant to do. So I took a hiatus and tried to figure out, you know, how can creativity make the world a better place? And
as I'm listening to you, those are the tracks in a train, right? If those tracks are laid as to why you're doing it, then you're relentless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Towards getting there. If it's just to make money, it's a tricky one.
You know, there's a thing that I was reading also another article recently, which I thought was very interesting. It has to do with the success and what is it you're doing in life. And if that's what you become successful at, it could actually be the worst thing ever. In that, you might end up becoming very successful at something that you don't love doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, for instance, you used to be on Wall Street.
Yeah. No.
You might still be on Wall Street,
no,
but is that where
it.
You're supposed to be?
I had a lot of guys working for me that are still making in excess of $10 million a year. And it's a hard thing to leave.
But
a terrible existence.
Yeah,
terrible.
And then one day you get to a point where you have a whole bunch of money, but you look back and say, what did I do that actually helped leave a legacy? Yeah, I've got a big bank account
for everybody. Yeah, good stuff. I guess we'll go take a couple of photos and do some good. All right, so why don't we eat some more breakfast?
I think that's important.
Right, normally we do burpees right now. We'll let the viewers do burpees. You and I will eat breakfast.
Perfect.
And then we'll come back and talk some more.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
There's a guy who really gets his purpose. Creativity will change the world.
Yeah, he was cool. He was high energy, yep. Right? Hard to change careers when you've got a successful business, right? To just stop and then go in a different direction. But he saw a bigger purpose and is absolutely convinced creativity will change the world. I didn't get it at first, but then you start thinking about it. Hang on a second. You actually need creativity to come up with new solutions to
all of our problems. Yeah.
Old problems, yeah.
The solutions.
So impressive.
Cool. So, okay. So let's do this. So Christian Johnson, he's out there changing the world with creativity. Let's go to Chad Grills. Here's another guy who's trying to change the world in his own way.
Amazing. I don't look at military guys that way. I wouldn't expect a military guy to end up in Silicon Valley, be creative, and be able to attack problems and disrupt the world from a technology perspective the way he has. So extremely intelligent, good-looking guy, getting it done.
We are here in San Francisco on the streets with Spartan Up Podcast with Chad Grills from Twist.com.
Hello.
Here's the interesting thing. Chad did not know we were doing a podcast. I was supposed to meet him on some other business, and I said, hey, let's just turn this into a podcast because you're really interesting.
Let's make it count.
I'm moving to the right.
Chad's moving.
All right, cool.
There we go. Good.
So go back. You were in the military.
I was, yeah. 2006 to 2012, I was in the Army Infantry.
Yep.
I did two deployments and knew it wasn't going to be a career, but it was something I was really passionate about doing, yeah.
So how'd you end up in there? A lot of people are hesitant to get into the military or ROTC.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
It was, for me, it was like kind of a proving ritual. You know, our society doesn't have many set up. Spartan's doing really cool things in that direction.
Sure, rite of passage.
Absolutely. So I wanted to build my own rite of passage, and I just saw the military as that. So,
what were your parents like? How'd they feel about that?
So I'm an only child, So they weren't too excited, but they also knew that I was going to do something like that. I was just always an adventurous kid, always outside doing stuff, wanted to go camping or doing things that were going to get me in trouble. And so they knew the military was kind of in my future.
And where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a small town in Western Maryland called Boonesboro, Maryland. Graduating class of like 200 people, so pretty small.
A lot of guys go to the military, a lot of girls?
Not many, actually. Not too many did. I joined college, I got enrolled in college, and after 2 years I said, I got to do something that's a little higher stakes. And so I joined ROTC, did basic training, infantry school, and my unit got called to deploy. So I could be exempt from the deployment, or I could choose to deploy as an enlisted guy. And I chose the latter.
Were you nervous?
I was, yeah. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't. But I was, I also knew.
At that moment, you've made the decision first, then you got assigned somewhere.
Yeah.
The difference, time lapse, 3 weeks,
sure.
A week. Like, what was going on in your head?
It was, I was trying to play out as best I could the next 6 years, the next 8 years, what it would be like the next 1 year. And I knew that looking back, I would regret it. I would feel cowardly if I didn't take that risk. So I did it.
And everybody was nervous for you, too, I bet.
They were. Yeah, my parents were. I could see, it was weird. I could see, like, a little bit of jealousy amongst my friends.
Really?
That they all wanted to do something similar. They wanted to take a bet on themselves, do something that was incredibly challenging. And I also saw, like a little bit of jealousy, like maybe I could do that, or wondering if I could do that. So
it's important. We talk a lot on the podcast. It's important that you hang out with friends that are going to push you forward and not pull you back.
So important.
Right? Because you could have been around a friend. Maybe you were around people that were like, nah, you shouldn't do that.
I was. Yeah. In a very big way. And that's one of the hardest things in life, is knowing when it's time to like part ways, or, you know, start hanging out with different people or hang around people that leave you feeling motivated and inspired afterwards.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, I was not at the time.
You were being pulled down.
A little bit. And I was letting myself, I was responsible for it by all means.
So now you're in it. You're on a plane. You're on your way over to Iraq. How are you feeling?
Still pretty nervous. I mean, we were getting trained up at Fort Dix right at the same time that there was a terrorist plot uncovered to attack soldiers that were training at Fort Dix. So it got, the severity of it got real very quickly.
Right.
And by the time we got to Iraq, it was right after, as the surge had started to get rolling. So we went to northern Iraq, a base called Q West, And we were very fortunate. We had a very safe deployment for the most part. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And at that whole time, you're messing around on computers. You're very tech savvy, which we're going to get into. How'd that happen?
I am now. My first deployment was all reading. So I read everything that I maybe should have read before or I was interested in. Right. And then my second deployment to Egypt was when I started tinkering around on the computer. Taught myself design, mocked out mobile apps. And then the first week after I got out of the military, I started building a mobile app. A month later, I had my first photo sharing app in the App Store.
Wow.
And I got about a month after that, I had my first cease and desist letter. And
that's always good.
I was hooked. I was hooked on entrepreneurship after that.
So cease and desist letters get you hooked.
It got me excited. It made me feel like a huge challenge. I didn't have the money to fight it. So it was one of those things where that's okay. I'm going to keep going. So,
right. What was that focus of that app?
It was a photo sharing app. So back in the time, everybody's doing something like that, you know, social network now. But back in 2012, it was actually pretty novel. It was an interesting idea to automate captions on your, so a little bit like what Snapchat's doing now. Make your pictures funny with a single tap kind of thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So it turns out you got grit. You signed up for the military, even though everybody was against it.
I like to think I do.
Right? then you read up while you're in Egypt and you figure this thing out. You write an app. Yeah. You get a cease and desist. You keep going.
I kept going. I drilled down on what I was really, really passionate about. You try to get that mindset of what would I be doing if I wasn't paid to? Right. And I tried to really answer that question, which for me was anything with education or that could make the world better in a long-term way. I'd seen so many things in Iraq and Egypt that just made me think like, you know, why are we doing this? There has to be a better way to solve these problems at their root.
Right.
And that's what is so appealing about tech, is because you can get to the root of all these problems and actually make a difference.
Like Uber.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a cab.
in a way.
Right?
Yeah, very much so. The old stodgy industries don't want to change. And in order to keep everybody moving and evolving, you kind of push the envelope with tech. So,
sure. So what's your latest push?
So Twist.com is a sharing and trading service for business assets.
But then you also have another business.
I do. And that's been how I've kept the lights on is Life Learning. Okay. It's an online magazine. It does about 2 million views a month.
Amazing. Why are you getting all those views?
Connecting, making good connections, long-term connections with writers that are passionate about the same things I am,
right.
Helping to promote their work, and then making sure it gets the biggest distribution possible.
So give me an example of an article I might read.
Sure. So all our articles are focused around like accelerated learning, technology, entrepreneurship, grit. So you might read an article by Naval Ravikant, the CEO and founder of a company called AngelList. You might read an article. One of my favorites is by a woman who was actually abducted and taken into the mafia at a very early age.
I like that one.
Broke out of it, became an entrepreneur.
I think you told me about
her. Shared her story.
Yeah, you told me about her. Yeah.
So the range is very broad. It's not just tech. It's right. People who have had life experiences that make you take note.
How do you get from Maryland to San Fran through Iraq?
Yeah. Right?
What wakes you up every morning? We were with somebody yesterday who wakes up 4:07 every morning.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you do it? Why do you do it? What could you recommend to the people watching that maybe don't want to wake up early in the morning? And
To make a big impact, however you can, and whatever idea they have in their head right now about maybe whatever injustice they've seen, whatever really makes them angry or they know is not right with the world, there's never been a better history in all of humanity to either join a company that's actively addressing those problems and fixing them, or to figure out, get with your friends, find out what pisses you off, and figure out how you can solve it.
Now is the time to talk about interest versus commitment. You know, have you ever heard that breakfast joke, like the pig and the egg?
Yeah,
right. The pig's really committed.
The pig was committed. Right. The chicken was in it.
The chicken was in it. The pig was committed.
Absolutely.
So you seem like a pretty committed guy.
I try to be.
And let's talk to the viewers about what that difference is and how you get there, because you didn't have to go on that deployment.
No, and you're right. It could have been exempt, but
you could have just went and got a job. You're running three businesses.
What got me committed was getting to know the people I was going to be working with in a big way. It's always easier, for better or worse, it's always easier to care about others more than you care about yourself sometimes.
Right.
You know, sometimes that oscillates and you have to check yourself. But I found the more I can put myself in a situation where, you know, my wife is counting on me, she's betting on me, she's putting a lot, she's investing a lot into a belief in what I'm saying I can do, it can't help but make you committed.
So the hard part then is to just put yourself out there, right? Because
it is.
Because you stay in your little comfort zone and then things don't change and it's nice and comfy. But once you start telling people, I'm going to do this, I'm going to start this business, I'm going to get deployed, whatever it is, now you're on the hook.
Yes, exactly. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's definitely scary, and it definitely requires some guts to say, I'm going to do this and watch me, and then have things either fall through or not completely pan out. But that's just part of the game. That's what's going to make you the next time say, I'm actually going to do it.
We had a crazy race we would put on for years in Vermont, and I would make the participants. I got so frustrated with people quitting because they were just interested in it.
Yeah.
But I would make them get an article written about how they were going to finish it.
That's good.
So now their whole community, forget about their wife, everybody knows they're going to do this thing.
And the ultimate stakes and incentives.
Yeah. They become pretty damn committed.
And that's, I found too, just it can be as simple as sharing stuff on Facebook. And, you know, everybody knows on Facebook you've got all kinds of people following you. Some people you're not as close with. Some people aren't your friends anymore. But you know damn well that they're going to be watching you to see if you said what you're...
Yeah, and maybe it sounds shallow that that's your reason, but but it's really you, whatever push you need, wherever you can get it, right?
It is. And so, like, there are just so many different ways. And, like, now with Twist, my co-founder is counting on me. And he has not only a wife, but he also has a kid. And he has another son on the way. And that's a huge inspiration and huge driver for me. Is they're all counting on me. It's not just for me and my wife. It's for him, too.
It's an eBay of business, almost.
We're trying to do something like that. Yeah, like eBayJet.com for all business assets.
Yeah. You're awesome.
Joe, likewise, man.
Thank you, sir.
That was an amazing thought. We live in this world where it is so... You have so many opportunities to change the world, unlike any other time. And how he reacted to the cease and desist letter, it made me think of you, Joe. And people say no. What do you do?
Yeah, no, I love the word no, right? Those two letters are so powerful, they actually inspire me. So so to hear a comrade in arms to go up against the system, right? He gets a cease and desist letter and it excites him. Mm-hmm. That's exciting for me.
Yeah.
I think a common thought would be, no, I'm in the wrong place. Maybe go back, put my tail between my legs. He wasn't having any part of that.
And that really the whole Silicon Valley culture. And, you know, they both talked about that. The idea that you've got this incredible group of people from all different backgrounds. He's from the military. The other guy's out of a different background. And they're all there to find out why. You know, why are things the way they are? Why aren't they different? How can we make them different? They're so solution oriented. And the idea about problems aren't a bad thing to them. You know, for so many people, it's like, how do we avoid problems? They're like, bring the problems on because we're here to solve them, right? So so bring us the biggest and the gnarliest, hairiest problems because those are the things we want to dive in and change.
By the way, those would be the biggest changes too.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Hey, speaking of big and hairy and gnarly and hairy, Colonel Nye isn't with us. No, I want to acknowledge
big,
that.
Big
I want to
acknowledge and gnarly and hairy. I'm sure he's going to love that one.
You know what? Last time we were standing in this very spot, there was snow. Colonel Nye was with us. Dave, you're a great substitute, but I just want to acknowledge Colonel Nye was going to be here, and then a tree fell in his house. So, Sephra, could you talk to us about why trees fall in houses?
Know the hazards around your house, folks. Be careful with them. No, but it's true. Silicon Valley, they're saying, these are two really good juxtapositions together, right? They're saying, if there's things that make you angry, change it. And you guys talk about how in Silicon Valley, that change can happen super quickly, right? So there's just lots of opportunity. Problem is the solution. Goes back to my good friends who celebrate permaculture. I know I keep on talking about that regenerative design system, but look it up in your city and see what it's all about. There's people teaching you about it. But their adage is the problem is the solution. Look around at what your resources are. Look around at what your issue is. And often the solution is right there, right, you know, woven into
most what great businesses come from that problem that
challenge,
you're
yeah.
trying to solve for yourself, right? So,
awesome.
Those guys with Uber.
Yeah.
Right? They couldn't get a taxi.
They have Uber helicopters now, too, Joe.
Do they?
Yep.
Wow. Well, I know how we're getting home. Speaking of going
Shop
home,
her up.
Go to our home, SpartanUpPodcast.com. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, to our iTunes. And I do actually want to put a quick pitch in. I know a lot of people listen to this. Great guy, friend of ours, Dr. Gus Liotta, surgeon who listens to us while he's operating.
Yep.
I told him a while ago he really should watch it on YouTube.
Safe.
He explained to me that he does it while he's operating. I said, do not watch us on YouTube while you're operating. But as long as you're not doing open body operations right now, check us out on YouTube because some good looking people here, not including me.
Hey, Gus, you're not going
to
get it done.
Podcast while they operate?
Yeah, Gus is a great surgeon, one of the best best hip guys, shoulder guys in all of the states. And he listens to our podcast constantly. I got a great story about him I'm going to tell in a future podcast.
Thank you for listening to another epic story of success.
To find more show notes, lessons, audio, video, and everything Spartan, please visit us at spartan.com/podcast.
The Spartan Up podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.
If you like our message, please help us get the word out. Tell your friends about Spartan Up. And go ahead and subscribe on iTunes or YouTube, wherever you watch or listen to the show.